Imagine walking through Brooklyn in the 1850s and encountering a tall, bearded man strolling leisurely, notebook in hand, absorbing everything around him. This was Walt Whitman, crafting what would become one of the most revolutionary works in literary history. Leaves of Grass wasn't just poetry, it was a declaration of independence for American literature. When Whitman first self-published it in 1855, readers were shocked by its free verse style and frank celebration of the body. Today, his phrases have seeped into our cultural consciousness. We speak of containing multitudes and hear his influence in everything from Bob Dylan's lyrics to superhero movies. What made this collection so revolutionary wasn't just its form, but its democratic spirit. Here was poetry that celebrated dock workers alongside presidents, that found divinity in grass blades and sexual desire, that addressed readers directly across time. What I shall assume, you shall assume. Whitman wasn't writing for literary elites, but for everyday Americans. And for you, reading these words right now, exactly as he predicted you would. When you open Leaves of Grass, you encounter poetry that shocked 19th century readers by abandoning neat rhymes, meters, and formal structures. Whitman's lines stretch across the page like the American landscapes he celebrates, a deliberate choice aligned with his democratic vision. If America needed its own voice, how could it speak in borrowed European forms? Whitman's free verse flows with the rhythm of natural speech. In Song of Myself, he declares, "I too am not a bit tamed. I too am untranslatable. I sound my barbaric yawp over the roofs of the world." This barbaric yawp embodies his untamed, distinctly American approach. He weaves slang, technical terms, foreign words, and everyday speech into a linguistic democracy on the page. His famous catalogs, those long lists of people, places, and things, give a prostitute the same poetic attention as a president, reflecting his radical political and spiritual belief in the divinity of all experiences. Without formal barriers, Whitman speaks directly to us across time with conversational intimacy that remains startlingly modern today. Do I contradict myself? Very well, then. I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes. This line captures Whitman's radical view of identity as expansive, contradictory, and fluid, unlike the consistent self assumed in Western tradition. In Song of Myself, his poetic I shifts between perspectives, genders, and occupations. I am the hounded slave. I am the mashed fireman. This isn't mere empathy, but a mystical dissolution of boundaries. His assertion that every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you expresses a spiritual interconnection that feels remarkably contemporary. Whitman blends Eastern and Western philosophical traditions into a uniquely American democratic spirituality, where the divine exists in bodies, nature, and human connections. His vision balances cosmic transcendence with earthy particularity, grounding transcendent moments in sensory experience and specific American places. In our age of rigid identity politics, Whitman's fluid self offers a healing alternative, finding connection across differences rather than erasing them. In Victorian America, where piano legs were covered for modesty, Whitman's celebration of the human body was revolutionary. "If anything is sacred, the human body is sacred." He wrote appreciatively of the scent of these armpits and celebrated bodily aspects that proper poetry avoided. This celebration embraced all bodies, not just idealized forms, but bodies of every shape, age, and condition. He presented desire not as sinful, but as natural and spiritually significant. "Sex contains all," he writes, connecting physical passion to cosmic forces. His Calamus poems contain some of the first celebrations of homosexual love in American literature, describing the love of comrades and adhesiveness, his term for same-sex attraction, making him an early LGBTQ+ icon. For Whitman, the body isn't opposed to the soul, but its expression. And if the body were not the soul, what is the soul? His sensual language embodies this philosophy through rhythm and imagery that engage the reader's senses. I hear America singing, the varied carols I hear. With these words, Whitman establishes himself as a national bard, capturing America's democratic spirit. For him, democracy was not merely political, but spiritual, recognizing each person's inherent dignity. His poetry gives voice to those absent from literature, slaves, prostitutes, Native Americans, immigrants, and laborers. His famous catalogs list occupations with democratic equality. The carpenter dresses his plank, the mason lays his stone, the pilot seizes the kingpin. Whitman's vision celebrates America's diversity as its strength without erasing difference. He acknowledges the nation's wounds while maintaining hope for its indissoluble union. His America is physical, rooted in specific landscapes, cities, and bodies. He maps the continent from Manhattan to Mississippi, from California's redwoods to New England's shores. Whitman creates a patriotism based on critical love rather than blind devotion. In our polarized era, his inclusive vision offers a valuable alternative, a complex love, embracing contradictions while working toward highest possibilities. When the Civil War erupted, Whitman served as a volunteer nurse in Washington's military hospitals, dressing wounds and comforting the dying. This experience transformed his poetry, adding deeper dimensions of suffering and compassion. In The Wound Dresser, he recalls his hospital work with unflinching detail. I dress the perforated shoulder, the foot with the bullet wound, cleanse the one with a gnawing and putrid gangrene. Yet amid these horrors, he finds connection. I am faithful. I do not give out. Whitman's war poetry refuses both glorification and simple condemnation, acknowledging both necessity and terrible cost. In Reconciliation, he writes of a dead Confederate, "My enemy is dead, a man divine as myself is dead." This ability to hold contradictions gives his Civil War poems their enduring power. The war deepened Whitman's understanding of democracy as he encountered Americans from every background united in suffering. His compassion isn't sentimental, but embodied and active, offering a model for responding to suffering that remains relevant today. Has anyone supposed it lucky to be born? I hasten to inform him or her it is just as lucky to die, and I know it. With these lines, Whitman introduces one of his most radical themes, reimagining death as a natural transition within a larger cosmic process. Rather than promising heavenly rewards, Whitman develops a naturalistic spirituality where continuation occurs through natural processes. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. This extends to his metaphysical vision in Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, where he collapses time to speak directly to future readers. Accepting death allows Whitman greater presence in each moment. Look for me under your boot soles, he tells future generations, suggesting mortality should ground us more firmly in the physical world. For readers facing ecological crisis and pandemic, Whitman's perspective resonates deeply. When he writes, "All goes onward and outward, nothing collapses," he offers not false comfort, but a shift in perspective, from individual survival to participation in ongoing processes that transcend any single life. The grass embodies this cycle, growing from soil containing the dead, yet signaling perpetual renewal.